Hi, this is author and artist Jessica Lark. You're listening to the Petapixel Photography Podcast with Sharky James.
Welcome to the Petapixel Photography Podcast, episode 47. You can now AF your MF. In this episode, TechArt brings autofocus to manual focus lenses, fans of Harry Styles excuse copyright infringement and turn on a photographer, an Adobe Creative Cloud bug deletes user data, MoMA has a free photography course, Picasa gets the Google axe, Kelby One pivots, and photography teacher Ben in Australia wants to know which file management program his students should use, Lightroom or Bridge. All that and more in episode 47 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Thank you so much for opening the show, Jessica. Jessica Lark is an extremely talented photographer, author, and mentor with Trey Ratcliffe's Magical Academy of Artistic Mastery, known as the Arcanum. She takes things to a whole new level of artistic awesomeness, and her project known as the Reliquarian is truly inspiring. You just have to see it. Incredible photography along with amazing editing, and it's something that's influencing photographers around the globe. Jessica is the real deal, and you've got to see it all for yourself by heading on over to jessicalark.com. And I'd like to thank you all for joining us here in episode 47 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. We appreciate you all so much, and thank you all for subscribing, rating, and reviewing us in iTunes or wherever else you listen to us. And as always, we appreciate you telling your friends on social media and wherever and helping to spread the word about us. Okay, with that, I'm your host, Sharky James. Let's hit it. Back in episode 37, we told you about the first autofocus adapter for Leica M to Sony E-mount lenses being in the works. Well, now they're available. China-based company TechArt has officially unveiled the TechArt Pro AF adapter, initially available in Leica M-mount to Sony E-mount. You know, this thing is brilliant, and I don't know why someone didn't make this happen sooner. Years and years ago, there was a Pentax 1.7X teleconverter adapter, but that was completely different than this thing. Using the electronic contacts and phase detecting focusing system of Sony cameras like the A7 Mark II and the A7R Mark II, the adapter will physically move the lens closer and farther from the sensor plane. That is pretty cool. By changing the distance of the lens by a maximum of 4.5 millimeters, the adapter can automatically focus the lens. You know, it'll be interesting to see just how much battery life this thing eats up, because it looks like it has the potential to cause you to stock up on quite a bit of batteries. I love the Sony gear, but one of the things I don't love is the battery life. If you own a Sony mirrorless camera, you know this to be true. You can't get by with just one battery. You need to stock up on extra batteries, or you're going to be an unhappy camper when it comes time to shoot. So add this TechArt adapter, and I figure you're going to need to add at least one or two more now. That said, this product is pretty cool. In addition to using Leica M lenses, you can also use adapters to connect lenses from other mounts and use the autofocus functionality too. That includes both single and continuous autofocus modes. It can also be used to reduce the minimum focusing distance of lenses. That's going to be very helpful. Can be paired with a mobile app for saving lens data and receiving firmware updates. The TechArt Pro AF will cost you $349 US. And you're going to begin seeing this shipping sometime in March 2016. If you want to get in line for one of the first of these, go ahead and head on over to techartpro.com. You'll get a one-year warranty, and during the promo period, you can get free shipping as well. And we're likely to see adapters for other systems available in the future, so stay tuned. It's not going to just be Leica M to Sony. I think you're going to see pretty much everything, and that is really, really awesome. Next. If you're a Mac user and use Adobe Creative Cloud, listen up. Data in your Mac root directory could be deleted without warning. Yeah, not good. The bug in Adobe Creative Cloud version 3.5.0.206 was discovered by backup service Backblaze, whose customers were having their data deleted thanks to the Adobe apps. It's important to make clear here that this just isn't affecting Backblaze customers. It's affecting anyone with a Mac with that update, apparently. The backup service went through the trouble of demonstrating that this problem not only affects their customers, but also others as well, posting videos demonstrating what exactly happens here. So apparently this is what's going on. Creative Cloud appears to be deleting the contents of the first folder in your Mac's root directory in alphabetical order. Now, for Backblaze customers, that folder was often the Backblaze directory called .bzvol. But if you have a folder that comes before that alphabetically, then that folder would get nuked. And this is disturbing, and here's why. Thanks to this bug, Creative Cloud could very well be deleting data that's very much needed by your system, and it's permanent. Now, in the meantime, Adobe has pulled the latest Creative Cloud update and is looking into what went wrong, but there's a simple trick that can help you avoid this problem until the issue is fixed. What you need to do is create a new hidden folder in your root directory that comes before everything else alphabetically. Now, obviously, most of us don't know how to do that. So for instructions on how to do this and updates on this issue as they develop, hit the show notes for episode 47 at petapixel.com/podcast. Oh, Adobe, how you humor me. I swear, it's one thing after the other, isn't it? Next. Famous people, as we know, think they can do whatever they want and get away with it. And they often do. As for their fans, you tick them off and just watch out, especially if they're teenagers. And that's what happened after Brussels, Belgium-based photographer Ezekiel Scagnetti took to Facebook commenting about how Harry Styles, singer from the boy band One Direction, took one of his photographs, posted it on his Instagram account, and didn't even give him credit or anything. Styles has pretty close to 16 million followers on Instagram, which is close to the 11,000 I have. Okay, no, it's not. Not even close at all. But you get the point. 16 million followers, many of whom are teenage girls. And they were none too happy about this. The jacked photo soon racked up over 750,000 likes in just 15 hours, and not long after the photographer called Styles out on his copyright violation, the singer's fans just let him have it. Now, keep in mind, like I said, that these are mostly teenagers, and we know how they can be, especially when they're obsessed with a singer. But still, this doesn't excuse their behavior at all. They just could not believe that Scagnetti wasn't honored to have his photo posted by Styles. Like, that was some amazing thing. You know, they take a photo with their cell phone and Styles posts it, and of course, they're just ecstatic about it. But they're not professional photographers. He is. So there's a big problem there. You know, you think Styles would be sensitive to this, given that he's also in a creative industry. I wonder how he'd feel about his music being posted. Maybe he doesn't care. He's ultra rich now. I guess he thinks he's earned enough money. The photographer got beat up online for days, with tons of people leaving negative reviews on the Facebook page for his photography business, so he posted a rather lengthy online response. Since then, there have been hundreds of people that have come to the rescue and have left positive reviews, trying to counter those negative ones, standing up for this photographer. But I'm sure at some point, Facebook is going to remove all that once the dust settles here. The photo has since been removed by Styles from his Instagram account, but there's no word of compensation, let alone an apology for the photographer. And I think that is the least he could do. But nope. Next. In episode 45 of this podcast, you heard Pete Collins, one of the former Photoshop guys over at Kelby One, open the show. Days earlier, key people like himself, RC, and Mia McCormick were told that the company was restructuring and that they would have to be let go. And now we've learned that Scott Kelby's right-hand man, Brad Moore, is leaving as well. For those who follow this industry pretty closely, this is surprising news. You know, these amazingly talented, incredible people have been huge parts of the team over there. It just seems unimaginable that any of them would not continue with Kelby One. But sadly, the company needs to restructure its business, and this had to have been an extremely difficult decision for Scott Kelby to make. They're not just employees, they seem to be like family to him. Collins announced on his Facebook page that, quote, due to financially tough times, end quote, he and the others had to be let go, but they're still going to be doing contract work with Kelby One after their final 2 weeks were up. All of those who are departing have left farewell messages on social media, and Scott Kelby himself has released a statement. It reads, quote, the decision was derived from the belief that Kelby One has drifted away from the core of education and commitment to our members. The company has decided to regroup, redirect, and refocus the vision for producing the best, most engaging, and results-driven training, end quote. Now, Kelby says that a great deal of the company's time and energy had been directed toward video and sales projects for other companies, and now the goal is to direct 100% of the focus to the members of Kelby One, which, quote, will unfortunately include the elimination of a number of positions throughout various departments, end quote. So things are changing over there at Kelby One, and for those who were laid off, they're going to have to find work elsewhere, unfortunately. We wish them all the best, and since they're top-notch people, expect to see some great things out of them in the future. If you're a Picasa user, you might be sad to hear that Google is shutting it down as it continues to focus on Google Photos instead. The latter offers free and unlimited storage and sharing with over 100 million people using it. Picasa, not so much. Not even close. So it's going to be gone now. Of this, Google says, quote, after much thought and consideration, we've decided to retire Picasa over the coming months in order to focus entirely on a single photo service in Google Photos. We believe we can create a much better experience by focusing on one service that provides more functionality and works across mobile and desktop, rather than divide our efforts across two different products. End quote. Google purchased Picasa from a company called Lifescape way back in 2004 and took the image organizing and editing software, making it free for over a decade. You know, it was originally thought that Picasa was going to end up being rebranded as Google Photos, but when that didn't happen and Google Photos launched on its own, that awkwardly left Google with two different photo services. So, Picasa, being nowhere near as popular as Photos, will be getting the axe. If you use Photos, you know that Picasa web album content is already available within it. For those who wish to continue viewing things like tags, captions, and comments from their web albums, Google will be creating a special place for users to access that data. These changes will start to appear on May 1st of 2016. Now, as for the Picasa desktop app, that will be discontinued as of March 15, 2016, and while it'll continue to work on your computer, of course, Google will no longer be supporting it, and there won't be any more updates to it. Of these changes, Google says, quote, we apologize for any inconvenience this transition causes, but we want to assure you that we are doing this with the aim of providing the best Photos experience possible. Google Photos is a new and smarter product that offers a better platform for us to build amazing experiences and features for you in the future. End quote. R.I.P. Picasa, your time has come. Next. As U.S. presidential candidates debate the merits of free education, you can take advantage of a free online class launched by MoMA, that's the Museum of Modern Art, which aims to further your knowledge of photography. This completely massive online class entitled Seeing Through Photographs is a six-session class on Coursera that's designed to help you go beyond simply seeing photos and advance to truly understanding them. The class description says, quote, although taking, sharing, and viewing photographs has become second nature for many of us, our regular engagement with images does not necessarily make us visually literate. This course aims to address the gap between seeing and truly understanding photographs by introducing a diversity of ideas, approaches, and technologies that inform their making. End quote. This course is made up of six sessions, six short films, four video conversations, 16 audio slideshows, visits to artist studios, and more, exposing you to over 180 years of photography in MoMA's collection, and is led by Sarah Meister, curator of the Department of Photography at MoMA. Of the course, Meister says, quote, while taking, viewing, and sharing photographs is second nature to many, it is not synonymous with visual literacy. It is our hope that Seeing Through Photographs encourages learners to explore the gap between seeing photographs and truly understanding them. End quote. The themes for the six sessions are Introduction to Seeing Through Photographs, One Subject, Many Perspectives, Documentary Photography, Pictures of People, Constructing Narratives and Challenging Histories, and Oceans of Images, Photography and Contemporary Culture. Now, each session has a quiz, and the course has a final project at the end, so it's a lot like an actual photography course. If this free photography knowledge sounds like something you'd be interested in, head on over to our show notes for the link, or hit coursera.org/learn/photography. Now, I'm sure this is going to sound like a snore to many, But you'd be surprised how you're able to grow as a photographer when you think about things that you haven't thought about before. After all, that's how our brains work, right? When you think about new things, your brain forms new connections, and you'd be surprised what it unlocks for you as a photographer, no matter what type of photography that you do. Just ask any of the greats. They'll tell you the same. You may not know the name Arthur Fischer, a German inventor who registered more than 1,100 patents. That's more than Thomas Edison, in fact. But he had quite an impact on the photography world. Way back in 1947, he patented the synchronized flash, having been frustrated while trying to struggle to photograph his newborn daughter. In a 2015 interview with Der Spiegel magazine, Fischer said, quote, "At the time, you could only use a powder flash for interior shots, which you had to ignite with a cord. It was dangerous, and the picture quality was poor because the subject usually blinked at the flash." End quote. So with necessity being the mother of invention, he changed that by creating a system by which the flash was triggered when the camera shutter was released. A brilliant, brilliant solution. An invention which was later acquired by Agfa. And he not only invented that, we also have him to thank for the screw anchor. Yes, the screw anchor, something that is so common these days. Since that invention, people around the world have been able to hang heavy picture frames, whereas before, it wasn't so easy. But sadly, Arthur Fischer passed away back on January 27, 2016, at the age of 96. An amazingly talented inventor for whom those of us who make use of flash photography owe a debt of gratitude. Arthur Fischer, dead at age 96. R.I.P. Today's listener question comes from Ben in Australia, who sent in his question via our voicemail widget.
G'day, Mr. James. My name is Ben Isles. I'm a photography teacher in Australia, and I'm wondering, what is the most appropriate software to be directing my students to use when they're working with their images predominantly off a hard drive? These are students who are new to photography, and they're going to be storing their photos on a hard drive and working with them at school, and then they're going to be working with them at home. And the reason I ask this is because my understanding of Lightroom is that if you move files independently from Lightroom, say with just the Windows Finder or things like that, Lightroom can get confused and lose photos. So usually I suggest to them we use Bridge, because Bridge never gets confused, can always find the photos, and with a combination of Camera Raw, you get a very good kind of Lightroom experience that way, and then it's an easier step to Photoshop. Anyway, love the show, always listen to it, and thank you very much. Would love to hear your thoughts.
Thank you so much for your question, Ben. I greatly appreciate it. As you know, Lightroom is a hot mess when it comes to moving files around and keeping things straight. Rename one folder and it freaks out on you, right? Rather than being helpful, searching it out for you and giving you the option to reconnect as some programs do, it just places that little question mark next to the folder and expects you to sort things out. That is so annoying. And as I'm sure you're well aware, these links will break for a number of reasons. You know, someone may have renamed the folder, deleted the folder altogether, heaven forbid, or it lives on a hard drive that is not mounted at the moment. Those are all problems. Now, I don't know how you have your students set things up, but if they're using Lightroom and they're able to save things in a path that Lightroom's going to look for each time, or they can easily find it, and they don't change the name of the hard drive, the folder, etc., that might be the easiest way to go. They can then do their edits right there in Lightroom, and if further work is needed to be done on them, they can easily round trip them to Photoshop and back into Lightroom. Now, of course, you can have them use Bridge. That's really easy to do. But I've never been a huge fan of it. You know, if they've got the option, maybe have them go with whatever works best for them. That might be really good. As with just about anything else in photography, people are going to gravitate to one method over the other, depending on how their brain works. So if it's at all possible, I would give the students the choice, and I think they'll really appreciate that. They'll quickly be able to figure out which method works for them, makes the most sense, and options are good, as I always say. So thank you so much for your question, Ben. You know, we have a ton of listeners down under, and I thank you for taking the time to ask me a question. I really appreciate it, and I hope it helped. I'd like to thank you all for listening to episode 47 of the Petapixel Photography Podcast. Don't forget to check us out at petapixel.com/podcast for the show notes and to see what else we have for you. If you head on over there, you can leave us a voicemail question that we can answer here on the show. Or if you don't feel comfortable leaving a voicemail, go ahead and email me at lensshark@gmail.com. And if you'd like to connect with me personally, hit me up on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook where I'm Lensshark. That's LENSSHARK. All right, with that, I'll see you all in episode 48. Well, it's f8 2/50 of a second outside. It's time to shoot.
Please subscribe to the Petapixel Photography Podcast. My daddy is the host.